This is Living the RV Dream, episode 28 for Friday, September 29th, 2017.
I'm riding
with my RV,
wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello, happy campers, and welcome to another episode sponsored by Rad Power Bikes. I am your host, Robert Morales, and 28 episodes. Can you believe that? That means we've been doing this for 7 months. I've been doing this for 7 months. We started in late March, I believe, and we already, can you believe it, at the end of September. Autumn is here, which brings me to the first item that I wanted to talk about, because I am going to change the format of the podcast a little bit. I don't think I'm going to do the podcast every Friday anymore, and I don't think I'm going to make it, you know, 26 minutes exactly moving forward. You know, I want to have a more a looser format, you know, more like a conversational format to keep in touch with you guys. By the way, this is the last episode that is going to be sponsored by Rad Power Bikes, and that's one of the reasons I am doing this. So yeah, let me know what your thoughts are, and where would you like me to move the podcast moving forward? What would you like me to do with it? This is still always a lot of fun, like, to get your feedback and to talk to you guys. That is going to be now at least once a month. I might do more podcasts a month if I find something interesting to talk about, or if I have a lot of feedback, or if I'm traveling somewhere. It's something that is time sensitive that I want to talk to you guys about. Talking about time sensitive, fall is here, and I'm thinking of making a quick road trip to northern Georgia. I mean, maybe South Carolina, maybe Tennessee, even Tennessee and North Carolina or Alabama, you know, that area, because I've never really seen the fall foliage, you know, the fall colors, as I live here in Miami, and it doesn't really happen here. And a couple of times I've been up north has been in other times of the year. I mean, I've been to Georgia by Thanksgiving, but by Thanksgiving there are very few trees with the fall colors left. So that's the plan. In about 2 weeks, I'm going to make that road trip north and show you guys that. But more immediate plans, this weekend I intend to go to the Florida Keys. Yes, I think they're opening them to the general public on Sunday, especially Key West. So I want to make it, I'm not gonna go with the RV, I just want to make it a day trip. If the weather holds up, I mean, the rain is forecast here for the whole weekend, and there's this disturbance, this low pressure area just south of Cuba that could become a tropical storm. So, you know, a lot of factors happening here, but if the weather holds up and everything falls into place, I intend to, you know, wake up early on Sunday and just drive south and visit my favorite places. I mean, I intend to drive all the way south to Key West. I don't think I'm gonna stay for the sunset celebration at Mallory Square. And I also intend to fly the drone, you know, show you guys some of the areas most impacted by the hurricane, unless they have like a no-fly zone. You know, sometimes where they have like emergency services and stuff like that, they forbid anybody from flying drones, with good reason. So, you know, I'll be responsible about it, but if I can, I am going to make a video for my YouTube channel. And I've been really busy with my YouTube channel because I want to finish editing all the videos from that solar eclipse road trip in late August, early September that we did. I have a few videos left that I'm working tirelessly to finish editing and release them before that trip to see the fall foliage. So I released that video, you know, at the time, you know, when it is relevant. And that's also the reason, and I want to apologize, the reason for this episode of the podcast being released a little late. I usually release it on Fridays at 6 a.m. And right now, as I'm recording here, is Friday at 8:30 a.m. So I anticipate you're gonna hear this by noon, probably, maybe a little earlier. But anyways, talking about my upcoming trip to the Florida Keys. Last episode, I started talking a little bit about the Florida Keys because of that, you know, 26-minute hard stop, you know, that time tyranny. I couldn't continue telling you about the Keys, but I want to give you like a rundown of that trip down the overseas highway and all the things that I've seen down the road. I still haven't explored half of all the places you can go, all the things you can see. But this is what I've done, and as I said originally, you know, there are two ways to go down there. You can go down US 1, or you can also take Cardsound Road. They all merge back at the beginning of Key Largo. And right at the beginning of Key Largo, there are two restaurants that I recommend you go. One of them is called Buzzard's Roost, and the other one is called Shipwrecks. And they're just, as you're going south, or rather southwest on US 1, they will be to your left. They're a little hidden. Maybe I'll put a link in the show notes. And they're pretty cool because they're right there on the water by the canal. And pretty good fish sandwiches and nothing like a fish sandwich and a beer for lunch, right? As you continue going south on US 1 to the right-hand side, which is the Gulf side, which is the side that got less damaged by the hurricane, by the way, there's Key Palms RV Resort, which is probably the newest one, and it looks very luxurious. I haven't actually gone in, but I've seen it from outside, and it's like maybe 20 sites. It's very small, very exclusive, and it's like over $100 per night. It's like $150, $160 in the high season, and yeah. The keys are expensive, and usually you don't get a lot of room, so it is what it is. If you come down to the Florida Keys with your RV, be prepared to have neighbors close by, and be prepared to pay pretty penny. I haven't really found many places that go for less than $100 unless you are lucky enough to get into one of the state parks. By the way, right after Key Palms RV Resort, you're gonna find the Caribbean Club, and there's a big sign there. And this place is very famous because it was featured in a movie with Humphrey Bogart, an old movie called Key Largo. Which, by the way, I made a mental note to rent it, and I haven't seen it. So, but it's a nice place by the water. There's a railroad marker outside, and. But the bar does have a little bit of a dive bar feel to it, if you know what I mean. Not in a bad way, but I prefer actually to go a little further south. And right there, you have you can walk. It's like maybe not even a quarter of a mile. You have Jimmy Johnson's Big Chill. And it's a very nice place. It's very touristy, but the nicest, the most beautiful sunsets. Right there, you can see right by the water, they have tables, they have a nice bar, and they usually have a live band on weekends, on the evenings. Very, very nice. And I recommend you drink, actually, my favorite Florida Keys beer is a Key West Sunset Ale. Very nice. And right next to Jimmy Johnson's is also another couple of places. If you want a more quiet atmosphere, they have Sundowners, and they have Señor Frijoles. Sundowners, that's where I've been. And the music entertainment is just this guy playing the guitar. At least it was on the day that I went. And they have very nice seafood platters and a bar, of course, and tables. Very cool. And as you continue going south, you're going to find this a bunch of hotels down that area. But on the left-hand side, another restaurant that you must go at least once. It has no view. It really has nothing special, but the food is very good. It's the Fish House in Key Largo. Very, very good food and seafood and all that. And also, a little further down, Hobo's Cafe. And Hobo's Cafe has a little more of a Key West atmosphere to it. It's at least when we went to the outdoors area, and they have, you know, the fish tacos. Everything is in all these restaurants that I'm talking about is very similar. You know, it's you go there for the seafood, which is seafood anguilla and pie. Those are the main plates in the Florida Keys, the fresh fish, of course. Right a little further south, I like to call it south, but it geographically, as you look, if you look about it, it's really west, as you go into Key West, so I don't know what to call it. West on the Atlantic side, on the left-hand side of the road, there's this marina. And if you want to rent a boat, like to go fishing and all that, that's the place to go. That's one of the places to go. But over there, they also have the old steamboat from the movie The African Queen. And the boat is called The African Queen. And it was brought here from wherever it was before. I think it was in California at some point. By the way, very, very good movie for the time. Very good movie with Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn. I saw it recently, and so you can take a ride on the original steamer. It's a small steamboat, and it feels kind of touristy, kind of tourist trappy. I haven't done it. I know of people who have done it, and it is the thing to do there. So if you're into that movie, if you're into small steam engines, yeah, do it. Now, as you go south, and this is the place, this is like the pilgrimage that I've done all my life until I bought the RV. That is, because the parking is limited. This is smack in the middle of Key Largo, what I like to call downtown Key Largo, because there's a big shopping mall across the street. Dennis Latin Cafe. That's where I usually have my Cuban coffee to continue on the way south. It's a typical Cuban cafeteria, you know, with a window to the outside, and through that window you can order your coffee or croquetas or food or whatever. So it is like being back in Miami for a second. Dennis Latin Cafe, and yeah, as I said, this is downtown Key Largo, and in this area, right after here, the overseas highway gets divided. So it's like a one-way street going west, one-way street coming back east. And in this area, there's a bunch of little hotels, like quaint little hotels on the right-hand side, on the Gulf side, that they look pretty good, pretty cool. And here's also, in the middle of all that, Mrs. Mac Kitchen, which is there are so many, but it's arguably the best key lime pie in the Florida Keys, for sure. And the restaurant has all this nice decor with auto tags, you know, as license plates from all over the country. Very good. And even the lamps, they're like these Tiffany style lamps, and they are made with the license plates bent over. This is also right here, a little further south, where the old Point of View RV Resort was, one of my favorite places in the Florida Keys, that recently closed down, which is, seems to be kind of like a sad trend. Like the nice campgrounds, RV parks are closing because they figure they make more money, you know, building a condo or a hotel. I believe they're building like bungalows. They're still gonna use the pool area. I think that area they're keeping, but the last time I was there, they were already tearing down the RV park and starting to build the new stuff. Anyways. Right across the street in that median between the southbound or the westbound and the eastbound US 1, that's Mrs. Mac's Kitchen number 2. And it's arguably a better Mrs. Mac's Kitchen because it's larger. It's located at the location used to be a Pizza Hut, and they converted it into a Mrs. Mac's Kitchen. It has the same decor, the same tables. Actually, the tables have like this acrylic cover. And it has like memorabilia from the old Florida Keys. You know those tables that have like frozen behind that? I don't know how they call it. Anyways, I have a nice video where I show it. If you look online for my first Key Largo video, I'll put a link to that in the. Actually, I'm gonna put a link to a playlist that I have of all my videos from the Florida Keys. Also near this area, there's another restaurant called a Pilot House Restaurant, which actually the bar has a peculiarity that it has a glass bottom floor. So I hear sometimes you can see even manatees down there. Of course, here in Key Largo, and I cannot believe I forgot to mention it earlier, it was back when we were talking about the fish house. The main place to stay here is really John Pennekam Coral Reef State Park. And this is a very, it's kind of hard to get in. I was very lucky to be able to make a reservation a few months ago. But, you know, they have, first of all, they have the glass bottom boat tours if you don't feel like getting in the water. And they go out to the coral reef and they show you the bottom of the ocean. Very nice. They rent kayaks. You can rent a boat to go fishing. They have all kinds of activities. But to me, the number one thing that you can do in John Pennekam is take the snorkeling boat tour. And they take you out to the coral reef. You know, they rent you snorkeling equipment if you don't have it, but you can bring your own. And that's absolutely the best. I forgot how much it was, but it was like very, very economical to take that tour. And you are out there by the coral reef for about an hour, and then they bring you back. And weather permitting, and I've never been able to do that, If the weather is calm, they'll take you to an area further out, less protected area of the coral reef, and you can see this statue of Jesus Christ on the bottom of the ocean. It's called the Christ of the Deep, and it's very famous. And one day I'll be able to see it. A little further down, if you cannot get into John Pennekam, this is like maybe a mile south of here. There's another big campground called Key Largo Campground and Marina. Never stayed there, but I hear it's pretty good. And there are a bunch of other campgrounds also here in Key Largo. But most of them actually have sites right next to the water, so you can have your boat right next to your RV. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Anyways, as you continue on Key Largo, the end of Key Largo is, by the way, very, very touristy. There's a lot of hotels. And this area at the end of Key Largo is called Tavernier, and as we're driving, we're still driving to the southwest at this point. Now, right after Tavernier, you're gonna go over like your first biggish bridge, the largest bridge so far. Because once you're going through Key Largo, you don't really see the ocean from the car at no point. It's just buildings and vegetation around you. This is the first time you're actually going to see the ocean as you leave Tavernier, and you're gonna see this this large marina to the right with this large building painted in blue and white that says Tavernier Marina. Well, at that point you're entering Isla Morada, which for all my life until like 10 years ago I thought it was pronounced Isla Morada. Because, you know, it's Isla Morada is two words in Spanish, meaning Isla, island, Morada, purple. So Purple Island. And I guess somebody decided to join those two words as one word together, and they made it Isla Morada. And it's really not one island. It says it at the welcome sign. It says it's a village of islands. So it's really a city composed of many, many islands, and I haven't actually explored Isla Morada as much as I would like, as much as other places in the Florida Keys. There's this supposedly very nice restaurant called Marker 88, which is at mile marker 88, but I haven't really been there. There's the main thing here, actually, Island Grill is also a famous place. But the main thing here, as you drive south and about a mile or so, a little more after you enter Isla Morada, is going to be to the left, the Theater of the Seas. And it's one of these places, you know, like a lot of people, especially from Europe, when I posted that video, they told me, oh, that's animal abuse, because, you know, they have all these dolphins playing tricks, you know, and they give them a treat afterwards, and they have a very, very nice sea lion show. They make the sea lion do all kinds of tricks and stand in one leg and jump up and down and play with a ball, you know, those kind of shows. And I thought it was pretty cool. And they also have like a small zoo kind of area, you know. It's they have a tour of the mangrove, and they show you the three different types of mangroves. I thought it was a pretty decent show. But, yeah, some people have complained that's really not the way to treat animals anymore. I don't know. I don't have an opinion on that. Anyway, a little further down, and that was during my younger years when I came to the Keys to party on the weekends at least twice a year or so. I don't know. Some memories are kind of blurry from that period. We used to go to the Tiki Bar, and there are many Tiki Bars in the Florida Keys, but this was the Tiki Bar, the one that everybody knew, and it was at this place called Holiday Isle Resort and Marina, and that place has changed since. About a decade ago, it was purchased by this company called Postcard Inn, and the place lost all of its character. I mean, this was the bar where allegedly the Beach Boys came up with that song, Kokomo. You know, they go, Aruba, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. You know, in the Florida Keys, there's a place called Kokomo. But that was allegedly Kokomo right there, the fictitious Kokomo. And that was a very nice place because they welcomed the people from the outside. And you could, if you paid a little money, you could, like, swim at the beach. And the Tiki Bar was, like, the place. In this place, they invented the drink called the Rum Runner, which is a pretty potent rum-based drink. I have no idea what kind of fake fruit it has inside, but it's pretty delicious. Anyway, this place over the past decade slowly lost its original character anyways. And I'm going to say something very unpopular. This place got destroyed by Hurricane Irma. I mean, nobody lost their lives, but the actual Tiki Bar. And I'm not that sad because they really destroyed the Tiki Bar in my mind many, many years ago. I know things change, but maybe now they will rebuild it, as it was originally. And that would be a good thing. Right after here, you will pass across another bridge, and that's where the Whale Harbor. It's a very famous seafood buffet, you know, the all-you-can-eat crab legs and shrimp, and I wish they had lobster, but no, it's not that expensive as to have lobster, but they have all kinds of seafood, and it's been very famous for many, many, many years. It's right next to the Chesapeake Beach Resort. And as you keep going southwest here, there's a place that I've seen like for many years going south to the right is the History of Diving Museum. And I have a feeling that once I visit it, I'm going to be disappointed. But I don't know, I can't wait to go down one day and that the circumstances are perfect. So I can just go visit it. By the way, coming down here after this is an area with a lot of hotels. Bayside Gourmet comes to mind as also a pretty restaurant. A lot of hotels, actually, we stayed here at a Days Inn many, many years back. And there's also, they have a couple of brewing companies. They have the Florida Keys Brewing Company. They have the Isla Morada Beer Company. But most importantly, the Bass Pro Shops. And right next to the Bass Pro Shop, there's this restaurant that is really, really cool. It's the Isla Morada Fish Company. I went there recently with another couple of RVers and YouTubers, actually. And the food is good, the ambience, you're right next to the water, and they have like a tank, like a pond, but it's, you know, it's salt water. And they have all these big fish, all these big tarpons, and other fish that I don't know what they are, and you can see them swimming there. It's touristy, but it is very, very nice. Also around here, and I forgot whether it is before or after, there is a monument dedicated to the hurricane that destroyed the overseas highway. Well, not actually dedicated to the hurricane, but to the people who lost their lives during that hurricane. That was called the Labor Day Hurricane in 1935, and it totally destroyed the overseas railway that had been opened by Henry Flagler in 1912, I think. And after that, they decided not to rebuild the railroad, and they repurposed the bridges for the newer form of transportation at the time. The automobile. Anyways, yeah, that area, that's just before the Isla Morada Fish Company, by the way. That's just before. And as you continue, This is like the end of Isla Morada. There's a restaurant towards the end of Isla Morada that has always come highly recommended by everybody called Lazy Days, but I went there once and I had a bad experience. Like the hostess was like rude. It's like, oh, we're closed. They weren't closed, but there was a long waiting time and she was like ignoring us. And I was like, you know what? There are other places to go. And I've never been back to Lazy Days. Well, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this episode is sponsored by Rad Power Bikes. As you know, the electric bike manufacturer that has been sponsoring us for the past few months. And they're offering free shipping on their four models. And they sell directly to you, so you don't have to, you know, pay like retail markup if you go to a dealer or something like that. And make sure to check them out. 1-800-939-0310, or just go to radpowerbikes.com. And I want to thank them and for their support over the past 4 months. Hopefully, they'll be back someday. But anyways, right after Isla Morada, and I think it's still part of Isla Morada, there's this couple of artificial islands, which is called the Indian Key Phil. And if you want to, like, if you're coming in an RV and you want to take a break, a large place to park, this is the place. This is where I usually stop with the RV and take a break and fly the drone, because there are no flying restrictions whatsoever. There's no airport nearby, so it's a cool place to fly the drone. Although there is a state park nearby, Indian Key State Park, which is a small island right offshore. And this island is a Indian Key Historic State Park. Was actually one of the first inhabited islands of this area. Nowadays, it's a ghost town, but it was like the seat of Miami-Dade. Well, nowadays is Miami-Dade County. Back in the day, it was just Dade County. But yeah, it's a very cool place to relax. There's usually on the gulfs, on the Atlantic side, there's usually a bunch of people parked there with RVs and trailers, or just, you know, fishing. And it's a little of a party atmosphere. But if you park on the Gulf side, it's very quiet, hardly anybody. And it's a cool place to just to chill if you want to take a break. There's also there's this place called Robbie's right after, and they will rent you kayaks. If you want to go to kayak to Indian Key. I haven't done that yet. And this is what you would call the beginning of the Middle Keys, which is a little less crowded. There's a lot of residential areas here in Lower Metacombe. And right at the end of Lower Metacombe, you have Ann's Beach. I mean, and a little known fact, or maybe very well known fact, there are no good beaches in the Florida Keys. Not really. The beaches are mediocre at best, and usually very shallow. And as soon as you walk a little bit, you're gonna see a lot of seagrass on the bottom. And the sand is not the best. But well, this Ann's Beach is a state park. And I believe it is a state park. It has a boardwalk and places where you can picnic if you get there early. I mean, it gets very crowded on the weekends. Now, right after this, you're gonna go through the first long bridge of the Florida Keys, and you're gonna go to there's a couple of artificial islands, but then there's and I forgot what it's called. Channel 5 Bridge. Then to the right after the bridge, you're gonna encounter the infamous Fiesta Key RV Resort and Marina. I didn't have a good experience there, but to be fair, I was there during the 4th of July weekend, so it was very crowded, very much party atmosphere. The staff was kind of rude. Maybe they were stressed out. Who knows? But anyway, that's a very large RV park, especially very good if you have a boat. But and it's an Anchor property, so you get discounts if you have a 1,000 Trails membership. As you continue, we encounter the town of Layton and another great state park here, Long Key State Park. I haven't been able to camp there either. I mean, the state parks in the Florida Keys are really hard to get in. But this one has like RV sites right next to the water. You know, they have like a little beach. And you can have your RV right next to the water. I can't wait to be able to camp there at some point. This is on the Atlantic side, and it probably got destroyed by the hurricane, which I'll corroborate this Sunday if I'm finally able to go there. But yeah, I think you should go there. Then there's another bridge, and you encounter Conch Key, which is a very small key. I mean, there's a big Conch Key and little Conch Key, and then to the left, and you can't miss it because this is it has like a big entrance. It's called Duck Key, and it's mostly like residential and a lot of like little resorts. I haven't really been in there because there's nothing all that picturesque about it. But right after here, after Conch Key, you will encounter the big city in the Middle Keys, which is called Marathon. And you want to know where the name of the city comes from? It comes from the railroad workers when they were doing the overseas highway. The work was so fast-paced and so non-stop that they said that it felt like a marathon. And that's where the city gets its name. It's a very long key, but it's like the big city in the Middle Keys. It has a large airport. It has hospitals, it has, you know, it's a lot of infrastructure there. Right after you enter the island, to the right-hand side, there's a large RV park called Jolly Roger RV Resort. And a little further down, there's also the Dolphin Research Center. I haven't actually been there because when we went there once, and we had just been at the Theater of the Sea, so we were like, I've seen enough dolphins for one day, so we didn't stop there. This area at the beginning of the marathon is called Grassy Key. There's also a Grassy Key RV resort, which is supposed to be pretty cool. And this first area, it's a lot of vegetation. There's not a lot of buildings or residential or restaurants or anything like that. Now, here, as you enter the more urban area to the right, there's the Island Fish Company. I was there once. It's supposed to be a pretty famous place, a nice view, but it's built like a very large tiki bar. I was not impressed. I thought the food was overly salty and not very great at all. Now, if you go further into the island on the ocean side, on the Atlantic side, there's this place called Lay Ann's Coffee House. That other couple that I mentioned earlier, they were there and they liked it a lot. So that's a place that I'm looking forward to seeing too. There's the Florida Keys Aquarium Encounters. There's a bunch of places, but my favorite places are right after the airport. Oh, by the way, there's an IHOP here that supposedly, and this is supposed to be a secret, right after the airport. I've seen some YouTubers that have done this, that they don't mind if you overnight park in there, which is that's something that is unheard of in the Florida Keys. Unheard of, I tell you. But a little further down, right after the airport, there's Keys Fisheries on the Gulf side, which they have a very famous lobster Reuben sandwich. And it's pretty funny because when you go in and you make the line and you order, they ask you like for a cartoon character name. And of course, I say Mickey Mouse. and then when your food is ready, they call you by that name. So they don't call you by your real name. They call you by that. That's I thought it was pretty cool. And there's a bunch of restaurants in this area, to be honest about it, so this is not the only one. And another one comes to mind, and this is very, very off the beaten path. It's called, there's Castaways Waterfront, but a little further, even further down, it's at the Burdines Waterfront. And if you follow other YouTubers, other RVers on YouTube, you know that about the Technomadia guys, that they recently bought a boat called Why Not. That's where the boat rode the hurricane. And they were lucky that the boat survived. It still floats and it's nearly unscathed. So that's very nice. Well, here at the Burdines Waterfront, they have a tiki bar called the Chiki Tiki or something like that. and they have very, I mean, the views are beautiful because they're right next to the water on the second floor, right next to the marina. And what we had when we went, we had the slider trio, which is a crab cake slider. There is like a beef slider and like a turkey slider. And that was very good. They have a key lime pie, and they have a very weird take on the original key lime pie. They have a fried key lime pie that is more like a wrap. It's wrapped in dough. I don't know. It was weird. I wasn't crazy about it. There's also this place called the Lazy Days. Very near, very close to all this. And as I heard correctly, if you bring them your catch of the day, they will cook it for you. So that's pretty cool. This was the site, of course, a little further down, of one of my favorite RV parks that is no longer there, here in Marathon, the Night Ski Campground. Very sad that I only got to go there once, and I got to go there in the low season. I would have loved to go in the high season, because they had a tiki bar that only opened in the high season, and in the winter the sun sets right at the right place, you know, at the entrance to the canal. I still had a great time there, and this is right before the 7 Mile Bridge. In fact, there's a restaurant walking distance. It's called the Sunset Grill and Raw Bar, and from there you can get a beautiful view of the sunset with the 7 Mile Bridge right in front of you. And here the road, it's heading already almost straight west towards the rest of the Florida Keys. And here also, and it is under construction right now, but and eventually they will open it someday. You know how the government works when it comes to construction. But it's the old 7 Mile Bridge that you could walk or bike on it. And that old 7 Mile Bridge goes all the way to Pigeon Key. And in Pigeon Key, they have like this museum of the construction of the Florida Key, of the overseas railway. And it's supposed to be pretty cool. Now, the 7 Mile Bridge, of course, as the name says, it is 7 miles, and it's a very, very long, very beautiful view. It's not like impressive at all as a work of architecture. It's, at the time, it was a marvel of engineering being able to do this. And the new bridge dates back from, I think, the early 80s. And here's the beginning of my favorite area of the Florida Keys, which is the Lower Keys. And south of here, it's where the proverbial, you know what, hit the fan, if you will. Actually, Marathon got a lot of damage too. But south of the 7 Mile Bridge, it's supposed to be like total destruction. That's where northeastern eye wall hit. And of course, the first key is Bahia Honda. And I've seen pictures and videos of what happened. A lot of RVs that were there got turned over. Of course, RVs are not supposed to withstand those kinds of winds. And a lot of the vegetation, what happened, it looks like winter in the north, because the trees lost all the leaves. All the leaves got blown by the hurricane. So they have this eerie look that is not South Florida-like. But apparently, their leaves are starting to sprout already again. So I have a feeling that this area is going to come back faster than people are predicting. Of course, a lot of sand got blown into the island, so there are huge sand dunes that they have to remove. And I don't think this state park is going to be open for a while. But by the way, this is Bahia Honda State Park. It's one of the hardest places to get in, like to make reservations. Very hard. And on the south, on the western end of the state park, they have the old railroad bridge that goes to Big Pine Key. And it's a very picturesque bridge because it's high. And even when they made it into a roadway for cars, they made it on the top part. I don't know exactly how to explain. And it is a very, very picturesque bridge. Coming up next is Summerland Key, which has the Camp Sawyer for the that belongs to the Boy Scouts. And then after that is Big Pine Key. And this Big Pine Key is one of the first keys that goes north and south lengthwise. And over here, they have like this very strict speed limit because there's an endemic endangered species here called the key deer. These are small deer. They're like dog size. And they're very cute. And, you know, at night, they have even a 35 mile an hour speed limit in here. Also, there's a no-name key, which is accessible through Big Pine Key. And over here, you have to go to this place called the No-Name Pub. And it has the very peculiarity that the whole roof and the walls are covered with dollar bills. And they have a very good pizza. Actually, when I went, I had the fried fish, which was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't like earth-shattering, but it was good. It's a cool place to visit. Now, and the next key is a Big Torch. And I'm trying to look here because there's a key. Is it Big Torch or Little Torch? I'm looking at the map as I talk to you. Maybe I should pause. That would make for better radio. But there's a... Okay, I found it. But before I tell you about that place that I found through the Florida Rambler website, actually, there's this other restaurant here that it has it's that tiki bar look large. It's called Boondocks Grill and Draft House. And I every time I come to the lower keys, I would see it to the right, and I'm like, I gotta go there one of these days. And it's pretty good. It's not like earth-shattering either, but they have the And someone recommended them on YouTube, actually, the cheesy balls. They're like cheddar cheese balls, or like cheese and potato. They're pretty cool, and they're pretty good. And they have a pizza that is very good, too. Anyways, the next key is Summerland Key, and they have a liquor store if you are into that sort of thing. But it has this very secluded, very hard to find, actually. It's on Niles Road. And just put it on your GPS when you go there. It's 1386 Niles Road. It's by the end of a road. And there's like a ramp there where you can launch a kayak or a small boat. And you're going to be here in this, it's like a sandbar. It's probably like 4 feet deep, the whole area. And sandy bottom. And it's very cool to kayak in that area. As we continue going there, we're going to encounter Cudjoe. And Cudjoe was landfall for Hurricane Irma. And of course, this whole area is probably obliterated by now, but it's going to be back in 6 months to a year, I bet you. Because the Keys will come back. I really hope so. Over here, they have... When you go to the Florida Keys, there's like a tethered blimp that you see in the sky. That's where it's tethered to. Here in Cudjoe. And the next key, of course, Sugarloaf Key. That's the southernmost KOA campground in the United States. Actually, I forgot to mention before we go into the KOA, right before Big Pine Key, there's a Sunshine Key RV Resort and Marina. And it's $100 plus, of course. But that's like one of the largest RV resorts in the whole Florida Keys. It's huge. I've never actually camped there, but you can see it from the US one, and it takes up the whole island. Yeah, and I believe it is an Anchor property as well. So if you have Thousand Trails, you get your discount. Anyways, I was talking about Sugarloaf Key, and in Sugarloaf, of course, that's where the southernmost KOA is located. It's called the Sugarloaf Key West KOA. The name Key West may be a little misleading because you're still 20 miles away from Key West. And we made the mistake once of taking the bus, thinking, huh, how far could it be? 20 miles. It's like, what, half an hour maybe? Oh, the bus took over an hour because it stops at every single key, and the driver was kind of rude, actually, also. And she stopped for like 10 minutes at the entrance of Key West just because she had to run an errand or something. Yeah, don't take the bus. Drive down. I mean, it's only 20 miles. I don't think there's no Uber in the Keys. So there's no, I don't think Key West taxis come up this far. But yeah, it's 20 miles. If you drive at the speed limit, it's 20 minutes. Anyways, right across the street and it's walking distance, there's this place called Mangrove Mamas. It used to be a railroad station at the times of the Overseas Railroad. And it's a very cool place to go if in the winter. Do not go in the summer because the mosquitoes will kill you alive. And really, it's sad. There's no one there. There's the band playing for like, there was the band was playing for like two of us, literally. Now, after this is the lower keys. There are a bunch of RV parks there, but not too many. Right after this, there's Blue Water RV Resort that I haven't been able to see. And by the way, this is the most picturesque park of the road, because over here there's not a lot of construction, so you see you know, keys to the right, especially to the right, you know, on the Gulf side as you go south, southwest towards Key West. Of course, right before Key West, is it called the Boca Chica Key? No, but Boca Chica is where the airport is. Actually, Geiger Key Marina is right before Boca Chica at Big Cupid Key. That's another place that a lot of people say that is very nice. I don't know, it's really close to the airport, so you may get... It's actually close to the Naval Air Station of Key West. The airport is further west. And on the next key, of course, next to Boca Chica is Boyd's campground, which is on Stock Island. Stock Island is right there. I mean, you are walking distance from the sign that says "Welcome to Key West." Of course, that's from that sign to anywhere you want to go. It's a little bit of a drive. But over here, there's Boyd's campground, very nice. And I spoke to them on the phone a couple of days ago, because I was thinking of going to Key West for Fantasy Fest. Of course, they're booked solid. And they are already open, by the way. They call it with limited facilities, because the Wi-Fi still doesn't work, and the swimming pool is still not functional. But they're open. They have power. They have sewer. They have water. It's supposed to. Key West, of course, was on that western eye wall, and this area over here was already out of the worst of the storm. And Boyd's campground is, of course, on the ocean side, which on this side of the hurricane was the least damaged side. There's also something called El Mar RV Resort. I haven't been there. It's very small. And then, of course, Key West. But there's so much to say about Key West that I think I'm going to leave it for another episode of the podcast. Of course, here we are, 46 minutes into the podcast. I am going to keep this loser format, not as a loser, like I'm a loser, but like less rigid format. And I'm going to do it at least once a month. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to do it at the first of the month, because that would conflict with other podcasts that come out the same day. So I might publish this towards the end of the month. Of course, if you want to see up-to-date content, you can visit my YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/travelingrobert. And I am Traveling Robert in all the social media if you want to follow me there. I have a Facebook group called Traveling Robert and Friends that is growing very rapidly. And of course, the group called Living the RV Dream Podcast is also the group to join us. As we continue here, living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle. Now, if you really, really like what I do and you want to be a producer of the show or of the podcast or of the videos, you can head out to patreon.com/travelingrobert. I'm going to put a link also, and you can support the show that way, and you get extra perks like deleted scenes from the videos. And I might do a Patreon only podcast episode at some point with if I have some pertinent information. But that's all for now. Until the next time, thank you so much for listening, and I leave you with the latest creation that I made about a month ago to commemorate the solar eclipse of 2017. It's a short tune. It is about 2 minutes long, but it encompasses my feelings as the moon was covering the sun. And I've been using it indiscriminately in my latest videos. By the way, this Sunday, do not miss my video about, what's it called? Oh, Asheville. Oh, we're going to explore Asheville. What a beautiful city with a music scene and that kind of hippie. It's kind of like in between San Francisco and Boulder, Colorado, let's say. that kind of college town kind of feel to it. And we went to the Biltmore Estate, which is the largest privately owned house in the United States. Very cool. And we drove a section of the Blue Ridge Parkway. So make sure to tune into my YouTube channel this Sunday for that. YouTube.com/travelingrobert, or also you can just type RV vlog on the browser, rvvlog.com, and it'll take you there. Until the next installment, thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road.